Well, welcome to the ABCs of Christian Growth again. This is Brother Thurman, and I thank you for tuning into this recording again and being faithful to learn the simple things of the Word of God. The Bible says the simplicity of Christ. And, that's what we need to know. We need to know what the Bible says. And that's what we're going to find out today. So we are going back into our study of the Bible itself, the letter B. And I hope that you've been having a wonderful day. And I hope that that you're in fellowship with your Lord and that you love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that you're faithful to Him and devoted to Him, and that your allegiance is to Him. You talk about a miserable thing, trying to live with one foot in the world, as they say, and one foot with the Lord. Well, the Lord doesn't do that to begin with. You're either for Him or against Him, according to what the Lord Jesus Christ said. And He said, no man can serve two masters. Because he's going to hate one of them and he's going to love the other one. You can't serve God and mammon. And I pray that you've made your mind up and you know what your final authority is, and that you are studying the Word of God in sincerity and in truth, not to try to manipulate God or find a loophole like the Pharisees and all them used to do. And trying to trick the Lord. You know the Lord can't be manipulated. We all know that. But we still try it every now and then, though, don't we? Until we get to know Him and we know His, and we know how kind and wonderful the Lord is. Once you find out and you start, understanding just how much the Lord loves you and, how much He has gone through for you and how much He goes through for you, you're really going to fall in love with Him, and you're going to love Him because you want to, not because you have to. So going back into the letter B here, in the past several lessons that we've been talking about, the book itself, the 1611 Authorized Version King James Bible. We call it the Bible. We call it God's Word. We call it the received text. We call it the Holy Scriptures. And we call it the Word of God. And the Bible calls itself, it names itself several titles which are scriptural for us to use. And we talked about what is the Bible, remember? And the Bible being 66 books divided into two major sections, which is the Old and the New Testament. You remember that. Now, I hope you have your pens and papers today, because I'm going to give you some scriptures. And if I fail to tell you that I'm fixing to give you the scriptures, I'm trying to stay where in these recordings to where you know what to expect and try to get a little bit of order in it, you know. But if I miss cue every now and then, don't be too hard on me, okay? All right. And we talked about the Bible that and its names, and then we also said that as far as the way that the books are set up, as far as the Old Testament and the New Testament, and the Old Testament having 39 books and the New Testament having 27. And then they were divided into categories. Both books are divided into categories they're divided into categories. For instance, the Old Testament's divided into the writings or the law and history and poetical wisdom books or the Psalms, like the Lord said, and then prophecy, the prophets. And do you remember what the difference in a major and a minor prophet is? It was the length of the letter, isn't it? Just simply how long the letter was. If it's a real long letter, and then it was a major prophet, and that was Isaiah through Daniel, remember? And then if it was a minor prophet, it just simply means that he didn't write a big long letter. He wrote a small letter. And there was 12 of them books. And that was Hosea through Malachi. Then our New Testament was divided into different sections also, or broken down into different sections. One of them was the Gospels, or is the Gospels. One of them was is a transitional book, which is the Acts of the Apostles, remember. And then we had what we called the epistles. Do you remember what the word epistles means? It means just simply letters, doesn't it? Have you written a letter since we talked last? Well, then you've written an epistle. Okay? All right. The epistles were divided according to who wrote them. They were called the Pauline epistles, and then we have what we call the general epistles. All right. Now, what's the difference in the Pauline and the general epistles? Well, the Pauline epistles were 14 books, Romans through Hebrews, and those are the books that Paul wrote. Now, I already explained to you what we was talking about Hebrews, and we're not going to get no arguments about that. We're just going to let God the Holy Ghost lead us that way. Whichever way Hebrews goes, it's one of the two, isn't it? All right, and then we had the general epistles, which means it was a book written by another, it was a book written down or composed by a different man under the direction of God the Holy Ghost, other than Paul. And that was the general books, which was seven of them. Then we had one prophecy book, remember? And that is the book of Revelation. Revelation. And then we talked about how do we receive the Bible. Now, we're going to start this out today, and we're going to go ahead and read that scripture that we read before, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. It said, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." There's a lot of information in that verse alone in 2 Peter. And he tells us a whole bunch about where our Bible come from. Now, the Bible's not just a book, remember? It's the book. Now, we as Christians, we don't just believe that God's Word is a simple book that was printed and just set aside for whoever and whatever. This is a special book. It's a supernatural book. It is a book that the very Word and words of God are written down for man to know about God. And to know what God wants and what His will is, and what man was created for, what His purpose is, what His reason is for, all the answers that man is going out of his way and killing himself daily to try to find the answers for, and spending zillions of dollars going up to the moon and bringing back rocks for all our tax money. That's all they could get out of all that tax money is a rock. That's all they've ever gotten. That's all they're ever going to get if they got that rock. But we're not going to get off on that, but you got a rock for your money, okay? All right, so... And it's different than any other book that's ever has been written or will be written. And I've known that in my heart since I was a little boy. When you talked about the Bible, I took a little bit more heed than talking about any other book, didn't you? The Bible is a supernatural book. And it's supernatural because of the way that God gave it to us. you're going to have to excuse me for this coughing. I should have took some cough medicine before I got on here, shouldn't I? But we'll get through it. You go ahead and cough, and I won't say nothing either. All right? Now, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "For the prophecy came not in old time." All right? It did come. It's not saying that it doesn't exist or that it didn't come into existence. It's telling us in that verse how it came into existence. "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man." Okay? Now, there's three things that we can learn in this verse right here. The first thing that this verse of Scripture teaches us, and these are vital facts that we need to know about this verse concerning how we got the Bible. The first thing is it was not made up by man. Okay? We talked about that the last recording, and it won't hurt us to talk about it again. Very important for us to know that the Bible teaches us, what does it say? Not what we think it says, but what does the Bible say? "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man." So what's that telling us? It's telling us that it was that the Bible did not come into existence by man wanting it here. And we ought to know that. because man is doing everything in his power to try to get rid of it, ain't he? Isn't the very thing that you see in society and in the world, and what the Bible, what the Lord has told us in the Word of God, that they're going, Jesus said, they hated me, they're going to hate you, they hate my words, they're going to try to get rid of us, they're going to try to get rid of His words. And isn't that what you see? I mean, isn't that what's right in front of your face? Isn't that what they're doing? They're trying to get rid of God's words. They don't want God's word around. Okay, so why would they make it up and bring it into existence? Well, they didn't. The will of man did not bring God's word into existence. All right? It says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. So it wasn't man's decision to bring it into existence or to bring it here for us to have. Okay? And then it says, that's the first fact that we need to know, is that man didn't have nothing to do with it, because he wouldn't have brought it into existence anyway unless he could make a dollar off of it. Which, there's a whole bunch of examples in the world about that today, too. With all these over 200 and counting plus versions. Okay, you think about that one for a little while. All right, and then the second thing that we need to learn concerning a fact about how our Bible came to us was that men of God wrote the Bible. All right, now, we're not saying that man didn't have nothing to do with it, because he did. God used men to bring His word into existence, or bring it into to being for us. But man did not control it, and he didn't author it. Okay, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God, not of the devil. Holy men of God. These were men that loved God, and they were still sinners, but they were yielded to the Lord. They were in His will. They wanted what God wanted. They were doing exactly the way and what and when the Lord wanted when it come to concerning His word. But holy men of God, and then look at the next word, holy men of God spake. The Bible says holy men of God spake. It didn't say that holy men of God wrote. It says holy men of God spake. And we're going to get into that when we get into inspiration in just a few minutes. All right, to inspire means to breathe in and breathe out. Inspire. Okay? I'm real sorry. I'll try to take some cough medicine next time. Just bear with me. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake. All right, so the second thing that we learn in this verse concerning how we got our Bible is that men of God spake. Men of God spake the words of God. Okay, well, you say, how did it get written down? Well, Jeremiah shows us that. Whenever the Lord had Jeremiah write his words in a book, he said, take a roll and get a pencil, and he said, sit down, and he says, well, the words that I give you, he said, speak them. And then there was a man named Baruch that sat down beside Jeremiah, and when God the Holy Ghost put it on Jeremiah's heart what to say, Jeremiah spoke the words. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, the Bible says. Okay, so when the Holy Ghost put it in Jeremiah, Jeremiah spake with his own personality, with his own tongue, as a man, and spoke it out of his mouth. Inspiration. God spoke it through Jeremiah. It came out of his mouth, and Baruch heard the word and wrote it down with pencil and paper exactly like Jeremiah said it. Okay, and you can read that in Jeremiah. And so the first thing that we learn is that it was not made up by men. It didn't come by the will of man. Came not by the will of man. Second thing is that men of God wrote the Bible. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The third thing is that God authored the words that the men spoke, and then the other scribes wrote down. So we see For the prophecy came not by old time by the will of man. Man didn't write it. Man didn't want it here. God wanted it here. But God used men. But holy men of God, that is a human being, of God spake. Okay, they spake the words of God as God the Holy Ghost moved them what to say, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the verse teaches us also that God the Holy Ghost is the author of the Holy Scriptures. Is that what you see? That's what it says, isn't it? So why should we believe anything else? We believe what the Bible says, don't we? And then we get along fine. Okay, so very simple. God's Word is simple, and it's easy to understand. You don't need to be no scholar, or no Greek or Hebrew professional, or speak in any other language. You can know the Scriptures. God the Holy Ghost is our teacher, and He wants you to know His Word. Now, God used human writers to pen His words down. Okay, and we just talked about that a little bit. God used about 40 different, we said 36 to 40 the other day. We don't know exactly, but it was between 36 and 40 different men from all walks of life to write down the Bible. Okay? And the majority of them, when they were inspired by God the Holy Ghost of what to say, they would speak the words, and then they would have another person sitting there that would actually write the words down word for word. Okay? And we're going to get into this study, and you'll find out that God is very particular and specific about His Word. He calls His Word the Word, T-H-E, the Word. And when He speaks of His words in the plural form, He says, the words, my words, the words. And if you look up that definition of that word, the, it means specific, particular words. Okay? So, the Lord, He had about anywhere from 36 to 40 different men from all walks of life to write down the Bible, and this was accomplished over a period of about 1,600 years. That's a long time, you know it? How old are you? Well, you know, some of you might not want me to ask you that question, but anyway, but let's say less than 100, okay? Less than 100. Well, that's 100 years. You're talking about 40 different men writing 66 different books, compiling it into one book over a period of 1,600 years, and all of it coming together in unison and not contradicting anything else in the Scriptures, not one time. Now, that is a miracle in itself, isn't it? All right? God used human writers to pen His words. All right? The Old Testament was originally written in Hebrew. You remember that? Okay, with parts of Daniel and Ezra being written in Aramaic. All right? And the New Testament was originally written in street-speaking Koine Greek. Just a regular old street language that everybody spoke. Okay? All right? Now, another thing that we need to know concerning the Holy Bible is that God authored the Bible. It says in that scripture, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God, the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Godhead. Excuse me. Now, a good way to illustrate this miracle that the Lord did is to consider how you'd write things down on paper, how you would write things down on paper. First, it's the pen that actually does the writing, but it only writes as you move it. Now, the second thing is that the characteristics of the script will depend on the kind of pen or writing instrument that you use. Say, for instance, you write your name down on a piece of paper and you use a fine ballpoint pen, a real fine thing. Well, that writes one way. Then you use a felt tip marking pen. Well, that writes another. Then you use a paintbrush. Well, that marks a different way. And, you know, there's going to be, you note that there will be the same words, but a different appearance. Okay. Well, that's elementary kind of example, but it kind of makes sense the way that the Lord used the writers to write down. The Lord never took the personality of any of those men. He never took their character. He never took anything away from or added anything to them to write his words down. And we're going to see that in just a minute. But you can see that every one of the writers was a different individual with different thoughts and different ways of doing things and different forms of speech and the way that they spoke. And some men used words that other men didn't, but God still used them, and he had the power and still does had the power to speak through those men and have those men write what God's words were and the sense of his words on paper and write it down, and every one of them hold their own personalities as far as expressing what God wanted said. Okay, now the Holy Ghost moved the human writers of the Bible in such a way that they recorded the very words and the sense of God through though couched in their own literary style. Each one of those men wrote different. Some of them was fishermen. There was a lawyer there. There was a tax collector or a doctor there. There was a tax collector there. There was a fisherman. All kind of different fellas. But they come from different walks of life, different backgrounds, different everything. But the Lord let them all keep their own styles and their own personalities and used them to get his truth written down so that we could have it today. Now, the way in which God gave the Bible is called inspiration. Inspiration. Now, because the Bible is the inspired Word of God, we can take it as our authority. And we talked about that, our doctrine. We can take it as our authority for all that we believe and all that we practice. Excuse me. Now, one thing to beware of. Beware of men that say, and you hear this in fundamental circles, and they ought to know better. But you hear people say this now, that the Bible becomes the Word of God when it speaks to you personally. Well, man, you can make a comic book become the Word of God if it speaks to you personally. You can make the devil's book become the Word of God if it speaks to you personally. That's not... Be careful what you listen to. Who says what about the Word of God? The Bible says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. Okay, so the Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words... You see that specific personal... way that the Lord describes and claims his own words, but my words shall not pass away. All right. God's word doesn't become anything because a man wants them to become it. Okay. Now man deceives himself and he says God's word says things that it might and it might not say. But God's word does not pay homage to man in no sense. God's word does not bow down to any man. God's word does not become servant to any man and his will at any time, any place, anywhere, anyhow. And it never will. Matthew 24:35, what we just read, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13 says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You see, beware of men that say the Bible becomes the Word of God when it speaks to you personally. Okay, God has inspired the words of his book. Not just the ideas and not just the thoughts. God inspired the very words. Okay, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. All right. Now, beware of men who say the Bible contains the Word of God. Now, what in the world does that mean, contains the Word of God? Watch out for all these tricky little sayings that men love to bring about and everything. God the Holy Ghost doesn't speak to us in confusion like that. He makes it very clear to us. And when you come at the Word of God and you come at the Lord with sincerity and truth, the Lord will make it plain to you and He'll give you understanding in His Word. And you will understand His Word and you'll appreciate it and you'll learn to love it more and more and be confident of it. But when you try to deceive and manipulate and control the Word of God, you're going to be the one that's made the fool of every time. Beware of men who say the Bible contains the Word of God, meaning that there are parts of it which are not God's Word. You know what? If I knew that there was one word in that Bible that was not inspired and it was not God's Word, I would not trust the entire book. Would you? I mean, a book that's telling me where I'm going to spend eternity, where I'm going to go to heaven or whether I'm going to go to hell, whether I got God's blessings on me or whether I don't, whether I'm in fellowship with the Lord or whether I'm not, whether His Son died for me or whether He didn't. If it had one mistake in it, I wouldn't trust it. I wouldn't trust it. My Bible's perfect. God's Bible that He give me in written form that I have right here that I can hold in my hand and open up and read to you, and I have it in written form, a written document from the Lord right here that tells me that it's perfect and I can trust it and I can go to my grave trusting it and God won't let me down, and I'm putting my faith and staking my soul on it. It better be perfect or you're in trouble, Buster. When you close your eyes and draw that last breath and you leave that body and that body goes back to the dirt, your soul's going somewhere. And it better have some backing on it, like the words of God that has the authority to back up those words. Now, beware of these idiots and these men that walk around and try to confuse you. And I don't know why one Christian that calls himself a Christian would try to confuse another Christian's belief or faith in the Word of God rather than build it and edify it. The Bible says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. The Bible contains the words of God, meaning that there's parts of it which are not God's words. 2 Timothy chapter 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That's what we're doing right now, learning doctrine. What is truth and what is false? Okay, for profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. It teaches you what is right. It teaches you what is wrong. It teaches you how to tell the difference, and it teaches you how to get it right when you know it's wrong. Now, the Bible doesn't become the Word of God when it speaks to you personally. The Bible is the Bible, and God's Word is God's Word. Whether you like it or not, whether it agrees with you or not. Okay, and God's words do not contain the Word of God. God's words are the Word of God. And just like we read there in 2 Timothy 3:16, according to this scripture verse, how much of the Bible's inspired? Let me read it to you again. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Very simple question. I bet a fourth or fifth grader could answer this question in front of a church congregation and only have to ask them once. Susie, now this is God's Word, and God says that His words are inspired. So I want to ask you a question. According to this scripture verse that I read to you just a minute ago, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Here's the question, Susie. Are you ready? How much of the Bible's inspired? You know what Susie would say? Susie would say, all of it, preacher. all of it. And why would she answer that way? Because that's what the Scripture says. All of God's words are inspired. And they are given by inspiration of God. Now, we're talking about inspiration, the way in which we got the Bible. Okay, and we're going to get more into that. We're running out of time on this one, but it's okay. We're going to get it done. And we're going to learn and enjoy it and just have a good time with God's Word. And that's the idea, is to fall in love with the Word of God. If you fall in love with the Word of God, I've done my part, and I praise the Lord for that. Now, before we close, because the Bible's inspired of God, the Bible says in Psalm 119, 160, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. So because the Bible is inspired of God, it is what from beginning to end? It is true from beginning to end. According to the Bible, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. There's not no end. We go on forever and ever. So from the beginning to ever and ever, God's word is true. You can trust it. It's truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Okay. So we've went over today, and we've talked about how did we receive the Bible. We're talking about inspiration. It was not made up by men, the will of man, but men were used, and they wrote down God's word as another man spoke them. Holy men spake, and then God authored the Bible. It says, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, remember? All right, God used human writers to pen his words down. And also, God authored the Bible. The Holy Ghost is the one that that inspired the men to speak what they spake, and the men sitting beside them with the pen and paper wrote it down. And we can look in Jeremiah and see that word for word and action for action exactly the way the Bible says that God does it. So, the way in which God gave us the Bible was called inspiration. Okay, now, when we come back on this next one, I'm going to talk to you just for a little bit about some different theories of inspiration. Three to be specific. I want to talk to you about three different kinds of theories that are out there about how God inspired men to write the Bible. And three theories that we do not accept. Now, the way we talked about it today is the way that the Bible says God does it, or did it, and the way that he wrote his words down in the book. And we're just going to believe what the Bible says, right? That's what we do, because that's what God said for us to do, is to believe his words. So that's what we're doing. Well, we've had a good day, and we've learned some more about the book, about the Bible, and about our God's words. And we love him, and our allegiance is to him, and we are devoted to him. So until we talk again on this next recording, I'm getting to where I'm feeling kind of comfortable with y'all now, and I hope that you are along with we should have good fellowship, and our spirits bear witness with one another when it comes to understanding and studying our God's words. So the Lord bless you, and I hope that that you have a wonderful day, and the Lord be with you. Bye bye.